Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Scott Miller joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Scott?
Jody Mack, how are you, my friend?
Good. How was your flight today?
Flight was good. I love that the winter meetings are out west. It was only an hour flight for me as opposed to, last year in Orlando, Florida. It was like planes, trains, and automobiles make connections, all that stuff. You know how it is. I mean, people listening and baseball fans, and rightfully so, they're like, oh, wow, those baseball writers, they go to winter meetings, and they're looking for all these trade rumors and transactions. And that's all true. But for all of us, and you got to admit, yourself probably, Jody, and anybody listening, if you're an accountant or whatever it is you do in your walk of life, the first thing is always about yourself, right? And how does it make my job easier or more difficult? And winter meetings in Vegas, short flight, makes my life easier.
Good for you.
Happy.
glad to hear that. But I'll ask you about the work that you will have to do. Yes, you're in Vegas. Yeah, you might be able to sneak to a table for half an hour somewhere, make some money, lose some money, whatever else. But most of the time, you're going to be working, trying to ferret out information, which could be either rumors, theories, and the like, or actual hard news. Last year at the winter meetings, you didn't get a whole hell of a lot of hard news. There weren't many signings. Yeah. It was really slow. Will we see a more news-intensive winter meetings this year?
I hope so. I think so. Obviously the big fish are the free agents, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. We've already had some trades. We've seen some trades made this year. We have seen Patrick Corbin sign, with the Washington Nationals. We've seen a number of transactions so far. So hopefully, last year part of the excuse was, well, everybody's waiting to see where Shohei Ohtani's going to go because he affected both lineups as an outfielder or designated hitter and rotations as a pitcher. So a lot of the excuse last year was, well, the first domino to drop has to be Ohtani, and everybody was in on Ohtani because he wasn't going to be that expensive. So teams thought like, well, we have a chance. And then it wasn't until after the winter meetings that he went to the Angels and then things started to pick up. But I think there's no Ohtani this year. We've already got some trades. We've already got a couple free agents signed. So I don't know if we're going to see Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sign this week here in Vegas. But I do think there'll be plenty of moves. And hopefully it'd be great if we saw some really big moves. I mean, I think it'd be great if Bryce Harper signed this week. I don't think he will. But the fact that he's from Las Vegas, he grew up in Las Vegas, the word is he's going to be meeting with clubs who are interested at an off site. Obviously he's not going to come to the winter meetings hotel, but I think it'd be fabulous if he signed because, there could be a big press conference. It'd be so fitting that it would happen under the big top of Las Vegas with all the other madness going around, but we'll see.
The only way that you get Harper signed this week is if Boris gets the $400 million that he's looking for, which I'm not sure he's going to be able to do, but you don't know. So we'll see if it shakes out over the course of the next several days. Along those lines, Machado, Harper, two huge free agents, going to be lengthy deals because they reach free agency at such a young age, both of them 26 apiece. Does it matter who signs first? If you're Boris, do you want Manny to set the table and set the bar so that you can go after? If you're Manny, do you think, well, if Harper signs first, he gets the mega bucks, I'm just going to be able to shoot for the same deal and I'm going to be a rich man. Do you think they're actually watching each other at this stage?
I do. I think that's a good question. I think they do. They are. I think Bryce Harper signs last because I think Dan Lozano, who is Manny Machado's agent, he's going to go out and get the best deal he can, as we saw a few years ago when Albert Pujols left St. Louis. Same agent, Dan Lozano, took You got a monster deal with the Angels for Albert Pujols, and boom, he signed. I think, especially after what happened with Machado this October, with the various controversies, the not hustling, I think if some team steps up and says, here's whatever it is, $300 million, $3.25 million, I think Dan Lozano takes it for Manny Machado. Now, where Harper's concerned, I mean, I'm sure Scott Boras has a number in mind. Like, if somebody meets this, we can get a deal done. I'm sure that number is probably like $400 million, $4.25 million. Somebody steps up and says, here's this, I think it'll be boom. But I do think the way Scott Boras operates, you know, we remember this from when years ago when Alex Rodriguez left the Seattle Mariners and signed that $252 million deal with the Texas Rangers, which then was record-setting. Scott Boras looks to set bars. And I think if in his case, I don't think he would sign Harper first and then risk a week later Machado get somewhere north of whatever Harper signed for. I think he'll hold him out and wait.
I would agree with that as well. Scotty Miller from Bleacher Report, our guest live from the winter meetings here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so those are the two everyday players. Two pitchers have already signed pretty good free agent contracts here. Corbin going first to the Nationals and Eovaldi staying with the Red Sox. Oh, by the way, I think he made himself about $50 million with October with how he pitched, because he was probably a one-year, $10 million maybe with incentives kind of guy. Instead, he gets almost $70 million because of what he did in October for the Sox. So good for Nathan Eovaldi. Next two best pitchers, Keuchel and Happ, will, because those two guys signed, they be more likely to maybe get done this week? And if so, who do you think are the top contenders for Mr. Keuchel and Mr. Happ?
Yeah, I think they could get done this week. It goes back to what we talked about a little bit ago, Jody, about the dominoes starting to fall. The fact that Eovaldi and Corbin have signed, there's no reason now for Happ and these other guys to continue to hold out. Some salary bars have been set, and I agree, by the way, with you on Eovaldi. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he made himself probably at least $50 million with that World Series. Maybe just in that one World Series appearance, his Superman effort in Game 4, pitching 6-7 innings in relief, through the middle of the night. That impressed a lot of people. And I think, with Eovaldi, it did surprise me that he got that much money, because we're talking a two-time Tommy John surgery guy. He's had two Tommy Johns, that factors into it, but the Red Sox, that's one thing about Dave Dombrowski. He's got his agenda. He lays out what he wants to do. He goes out and gets stuff done. He doesn't worry about waiting about this or that or the other thing. I think Happ ends up with the Yankees. I think that's just, they want to sign another pitcher. We'll see. And as far as Keuchel, it's going to be interesting to see where he lands. I don't right now have a favorite for him, but, we'll see.
Let me ask about a franchise-specific change of philosophy possibility, and that's the San Francisco Giants. They bring on Farhan Zaidi, the former GM of the Dodgers, come over and take over the Giants. Last year, they kind of half-heartedly went in it, picked up a couple of veterans, decided they were going to take a chance, didn't pay dividends. They weren't in the Dodgers or the Rockies class. This year, there are rumors out there that they could trade Madison Bumgarner, which certainly would signify a step backwards. Do you think Bumgarner gets dealt? How big a step backwards would the Giants take to take two forward at a future date?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think it's clear now that the Giants have changed over their baseball operations staff. Brian Sabian's no longer in charge. They've given the keys to the car to Farhan Zaidi, and I think there will be significant steps back eventually. Now, whether it's this winter or next, I'm going to say probably more next winter, because I just think, among other things, the Giants, they still draw. The big reason that they haven't taken that step back yet is their attendance is through the roof still. they've been scared about rebuilding. They've tried to avoid the rebuilding because they didn't. They don't want to do something that to you know, where they're just all of a sudden AT&T Park's only going to be a half or a third full. You know, I mean, they sell it out still almost every night. They don't have the streak going anymore. But that said, that's why, as you mentioned, you know, they've got like Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutcheon, Johnny Cueto. They keep adding to this veteran core, the young core they have, Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, guys like that. So that said, I think they're clearly at the end of their rope. That's why they hired Farhan Zaidi. So I think there will be significant steps backward. Now, the reason I say I think more next winter than this, Bruce Bochy has one more year left on his deal. And he's obviously a Hall of Fame manager. He's won three World Series, all in San Francisco. I don't see him as the guy that's going to oversee a massive rebuild. I think the Giants will end up going, like a lot of clubs, a younger manager, guy that maybe teaches more than Boch does. And I also think from Bochy's perspective, you know, you're in your early 60s, you've got three World Series rings. Why would you want to guide a team that's, you know, totally rebuilding? So my thought, talking to some people around the league, you know, first off, it's you know, we should say Farhan Zaidi has not tipped his hand yet. And even in San Francisco, they do not know yet how he's going to, where he's going to go, which direction. That said, I could see a Bumgarner trade because it's clear they're going to have to step backwards significantly. But I don't think they're going to do that this winter. I think if they trade Bumgarner this winter, I think that's all they do. Maybe they try to get guys back that are close to major league ready. That would be the first shot of a rebuild, but I don't look for a total rebuild until next winter. Probably that'll be the end for Bruce Bochy. You know, they'll go their separate ways. Bochy will say, I don't want to, you know, I've had great times here, but I don't want to oversee the rebuild. And from the Giants' perspective, they'll want a new, fresh, young manager to do that. So if they take a step backward this year, I think it'll be while they rearrange some parts and try to win one more time, and trading Bumgarner could factor into that. You know, it sounds odd. You think if they're going to try to win, he'd be the guy, but obviously the last 2 years he's been hurt anyway. But yeah, I can see a Bumgarner trade if they get a gold mine. If they don't get the gold mine in return, I think they keep him. And I think next year is when you see the earth movers come into AT&T Park.
And, oh, by the way, Bumgarner could be traded at the trade deadline, and he'd be a huge piece if he went
right at
that time.
Yep.
All right, one more base, a free agent question, then a Hall of Fame question for you. Bunch of outfielders after Harper. Harper's the big fish. But McCutcheon, Brantley, Markakis, Andrew Jones, Pollock, any of those really grab you, that if the price was right, like it's not outrageously above any of what the other guys on that list I just gave you were making, is there one guy that you think is sitting on a good year and could be a difference for a team, a difference maker for a team that's looking to make a playoff run next year?
Yeah, you know, I've always been an A.J. Pollock fan. I think he's been underrated. I think when the Arizona Diamondbacks have had it going, Pollock has been in the middle of things. Obviously, Paul Goldschmidt too, but Pollock was the guy that helped Goldschmidt lift that team. Now the problem is he's just had trouble staying healthy, and so it's a gamble. I think a healthy Pollock, I would take him. I think he's the guy. You know, but you better have your medical people look it over awfully carefully.
As a guy who's got a Hall of Fame ballot, and you get a chance to vote for the guys you've either sent yours in or you're still contemplating it, we'll send it in soon. We'll find out in January who gets in as selected by you writers. Lee Smith and Harold Baines were elected into the Hall of Fame today by the Today's Game Era Balloting Committee with 16 members. You guys passed on Lee Smith and Harold Baines for a long time, but they are going in now. Your thoughts on the other committees that can now select Hall of Famers? Is it a good idea to revisit? Is it not? Is it cheapening the Hall of Fame? What's your comment on Lee Smith and Harold Baines, now Hall of Famers?
Yeah, you know what? I find that very interesting. I think it signifies we're going to see more guys get into the Hall of Fame. Here's the thing now. These committees now, they put two people in last year and two this year. I mean, last year is when Jack Morris and Alan Trammell went in. Now tonight we get Harold Baines and Lee Smith. So I think it's pretty obvious now that the committees, which are consist of Hall of Famers themselves and some executives and some writers, I think it's pretty clear that they're looking at things differently and they want more people in. Whether it cheapens the Hall or not, I think we need a couple more years to determine. I will say this, personally speaking, because I always write about who I vote for. I always look at my own Hall of Fame vote, Jody, as a almost like a congressman who votes on a bill in Washington D.C. He's voting on behalf of his constituents back home. Hall of Fame vote to me has always been the most sacred duty I perform all year, and I look at it like that congressman. I look at my Hall of Fame ballot. I'm casting on behalf of all the fans that love baseball as much as I always have, but they don't get a chance to vote. That's why I think you have to take it so seriously. That said, last year when Tram and Morris went in, I voted for both of those guys every year they were on the ballot that I had a vote. I strongly believe both should have gotten in, and so they did. And I was happy that the committee voted them in last year because I was frustrated. I voted for them, and I thought the writers should have, but they didn't. Now, the funny thing, Jody, is this year I was 0 for 2. I did not vote for Lee Smith or Harold Baines
right
when they were on the ballot, and yet they got put in. I felt like Baines he accumulated so many numbers because he hung around so long. I mean, I thought, don't get me wrong, very, very, very good player. One of a Hall of Fame player or very good. Obviously, I drew the line of very good. He didn't play in the field, and I felt like those 3,000 hits, you know, he hung around forever to get them. But that's fine. If he gets voted in, you know, I don't have a huge problem with it. Lee Smith, same thing. I didn't vote for him. I felt like, he had a lot of years where he had, one inning saves, and I know I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but 1994, I believe it was 94, the year of the strike. I think he got like 33 saves. He only pitched like 35 innings, something like that, give or take. And yeah, I know I wrote in a past column, that's not closing. That's babysitting. But I don't mean to diminish. I mean, he was great. I heard a stat tonight that he led the league in saves for five different teams. He bounced around a lot. I never viewed him as I thought he came along at the right time. He was in the right time, the right place. Obviously, he was all-time saves leader well before Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman were around. But, I think I don't have a huge problem with tonight's news, just as I was in favor of last year's news. But four guys in 2 years, I think that signifies we could be seeing a lot of guys the writers pass on. And that could get tricky, I think. It could get worrisome. I Baseball Hall of Fame, in my opinion, is the best one by far. And the biggest reason is it's so hard to get in. You know, it seems like the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't pay much attention to the NFL, but it seems like every year when I look up, they're inducting about 12 people. And I scratch my head at that. I love the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll see what happens over the next few years. But I would hate to see too many people get in.
Scotty, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. I hope you're doing news rather than speculation this week. We'll be reading that Bleacher Report either way. Thanks for catching up, bud.
All right. My pleasure, Jody. Always fun talking baseball with
my
you.
Pleasure.
You, my
Scotty Miller from Bleacher Report.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.